customizing our current solutions for different sports is one of our main targets that we are working right now. So right now we are ready for football, basketball, tennis, paddle, handball, ice hockey, and futsal. But there are some other sports that we know the potential is huge, and we are receiving big approach like cricket. And we know that, for example, cricket market is huge for both technologies. So in next few months, we are trying to customizing our technologies for new sports, apart from the sports that already we have.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. This is your host, Roan, and this month, as we're continuing our series of themed months, this month we're going to focus on sports tech in the Middle East. If you haven't caught our earlier themes, we did fan experiences, we've done just a month of new investors, so please go check out those episodes. But if you're interested in all the money that's coming into sports in the Middle East, and therefore all the money that's coming into sports tech for the Middle East, then this month should be interesting to you. We're going to have in our series some startup founders, investors, and accelerators across this region. So to kick us off, I had to invite a dear friend of mine. Well, we've only met once, as we realized just now, but we've spoken many times over the last few years. One of the shining stars to come out of the Middle East from sports tech, the CEO of Sponix Tech, a name that you might have heard, Mohammed Ali Abbaspor. Welcome to the show, Mohammed.
Hello, Ron. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be in touch with you again.
As we said, we were just chatting before we started that we met only in Malaysia once. And I think that was in 2018, I want to say.
19 maybe? I believe.
19,
yes,
maybe
that
19.
Was exactly beginning of Sponix, that we started Sponix.
Fantastic. And since then, the company has, let's say it's a name I keep hearing again and again. But before we get into Sponix Tech, which is, and I'll let you describe it and tell us all about what you do. But first, I want to hear about you, the person. Tell us about the story of Mohammed and how you started this company and where you come from and what the story is.
Thank you so much. I had two main interests since I was a kid. So one was sport and specifically football. And the other point was technology and IT section, I should say. So I studied IT management in university as well, and also I was playing football professionally until 6-7 years ago. So from 2012, I started to build some ideas, some startups related to sport and technology sections, the exact points that are interested for me all the time. So I had another startups in the on that moment, and between 2012 until 2018, and we had developed some products that was somehow unique in the region, but just in the Middle East on that moment. But then at 2018, I started to think about having some startup, some solutions that could be very useful and interesting for a sport industry worldwide, not just for the region. So at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, we started Sponix to have something to be interesting and useful for whole the sport industry. And so we started Sponix, and we have developed two technologies that both of them are unique right now worldwide regarding how we are implementing them.
We'll come to that in a second, but just so that we're clear, so Mohammed, where were you born? Which part of the Middle East are you from?
I'm from Iran. I born in Tehran.
Okay. And where do you live now?
In Doha. So before coming to Doha, I was living in Dubai in 2017 until 2019. And then I came to Doha at the end of 2019, and I established Sponix here.
Got it. That's probably connected to the Qatar Sports Tech Program, which I know you were a part of, and obviously leading up to the World Cup. So now, before we come to that, let's talk about Sponix Tech, which my understanding is that you're essentially a media production solution, right? So you provide replays, immersive replays with like changing the, providing the point of view of the player or providing from different angles on the pitch, and also virtual advertising, right? Going to different geographies, the banner ads across the stadium or different advertising in the stadium can be different in different regions. That is my understanding of Sponix Tech. Is that correct? And anything else you want to add?
Exactly. That's correct. Exactly.
So immersive replays and virtual advertising.
Exactly. So immersive replay, we launched immersive replay in 2020. That was the first technology that we released. And from that moment, we started to work in our second technology, that is our virtual advertising. We launched it at the end of 2022. After 2 years hard working, we launched our second technology as well, that I believe it is very, very valuable for us right now.
Perfect. So give us some context. So who is the client? Who has been buying Sponix Tech? Which clients, which leagues, which federations have you been selling this to? Obviously, I would imagine media broadcasters are a primary client, but which regions might we have seen your product in action?
Generally, we have four kinds of clients. So the first one is the right holders, such as UEFA, that we are working with UEFA right now. We have contract with them, and this is one of our biggest and most well-known clients, obviously. So the second category is the federations and leagues that we are working with them. For example, we are working with UAE Pro League, with Italia Serie A, with some football federations like Brazil Football Federation or Chile Football Federation and some other leagues and federations. At the third level, we are working with some clubs directly, like Crystal Palace or Benfica Lisbon or FC Köln in different countries right now. And we are starting with some other top clubs in Europe very soon, that we had very successful live test recently, and we are starting with some other top clubs in Europe very soon. And at the fourth level, we are working with broadcasters. And for example, in the region, we are working with BN Sport, with Alcas, and in Europe, we are working with RMC Sport. We worked with Sky Sport as well. And recently, we started our first contract in U.S. market, and we signed a contract with Telemundo as one of the main broadcasters in U.S. market. And so we are working with different prospects in these four categories, as I mentioned: right holders, leagues, federations, clubs, and broadcasters.
Superb. This is why I want to have you on the show, Mohammed, to showcase like all those amazing names that you have on your client list. And this is a company that I've been seeing for a long time, and we've seen grow, and definitely one of the big names to come out of the region. Okay, Mohammed, just for my listeners to understand, is the main reason that your these leagues or teams are buying this product from you, is it for fan engagement? Is it for tactical analysis? Or is it just purely for on the media broadcasting side? Like, what are they using it for?
Very good question. And you know, regarding our first technology, our immersive replay technology, when we are working with leagues and right holders, so they are using our immersive outputs sometimes in the live feed of the games. For example, just a few weeks ago, that was a Super Cup of UAE Pro League in Dubai. And during the game, the director of the game asked to have an immersive replay of the goal that was the only goal of the final game. And we produced that goal, and they showed that goal during the 90 minutes as a very interesting angle for their fans. So they used our technology during the 90 minutes for enhancing their fan experience and also attracting more fans, and especially more young generation to be attracted to the to following the games. And also they added some sponsorship during our immersive content that we shared with them. So when we are working with right holders, they are using our outputs during the game or sometimes for their social media, like what UEFA is doing right now on UEFA TV. But when we are working with broadcasters, such as Telemundo or beIN Sport, Sky Sport, and they are using this kind of outputs for the post-match or halftime production in studio programs. So, for example, during World Cup, we worked with Telemundo, and they showed the most important moments of the World Cup through eyes of the players using our technology. So this is regarding our first technology. And the second technology, that is virtual advertising, as you mentioned, we are working with right holders. So it can be, again, leagues or clubs or federations. For example, on Saturday, just 2 days ago, that was a very big night for us, because at the same time we worked on two games, Brazil against Morocco, that happened in Africa, and Germany against Peru, that happened in Europe, in Germany. So we did, we implemented our virtual advertising technology for both games from our office in Doha in Asia, and we produced one feed for South America for each game. So four continents were engaged in two games that we implemented our technology. So that was very interesting night that we successfully worked with this top match. So for this technology, we produce another feed for South America. So for example, Peru Federation, they once again, they sold all the billboards to their sponsors in South America. Or Brazilian Federation, they sold again all the billboards to their sponsors for South American market. So this is how we are working with different prospects in the industry right now.
Understood. So you create like a different form of, let's say, a visual product that they can sell to sponsors and help generate some additional revenue, and also enhance the fan experience simultaneously, which is
exactly
a win-win.
Exactly.
Win-win. So let's talk about actually the product itself. So this is hardware, this is software. I mean, I know some information, but I want to hear it from your mouth. I believe this is completely software, and therefore you can keep the cost quite low as well.
Exactly. This is the main point, because there are some other companies that they are producing similar outputs. But the main point and the most unique point about Esponix is we are doing this just software base, and we have access just to the final program feed, even dirty feed, exactly like the feed that all the broadcasters they are receiving. We are using that feed, and on our cloud servers, we are producing this kind of outputs. So for the virtual advertising, in real time, I mean, for example, just in 2 seconds, 3 seconds, we are sending back another feed to the specific market that our client asked for the virtual feed. In the real time, we are sending the feed for that market. And for immersive replay, after a few minutes, about 10 minutes after the incident, we are uploading the immersive output of that incident, of that goal, for the director of the game, so they can use it during the 90 minutes or for the post match. So we are the only one right now in the industry that can do these technologies, just receiving the normal program feed without having any staff, any hardware, or any access to the ISO camera feeds in the stadium.
Incredible. So, I mean, I don't want to get into the technical details too much, but essentially, as you said, whatever cameras are existingly used basically for the broadcast purposes, you tap into that feed and you generate whatever additional output is required using your software. All right, Mohammed, I think we've spent a good amount of time setting the context for the product. Now, tell us about some key achievements. I mean, you've already rattled off a list of clients that you've been working with. I know you were part of the Qatar Sports Tech Program in 2020, and which is, I guess, why you're based in Doha now.
Exactly.
So tell me about that experience with shifting to Doha, working with QST, and also now, what is it like being in Doha after the World Cup? I'm sure maybe there's a bit of a shift in the energy, yeah?
Yes, you know, we have a big depression right now, honestly. It's still, we couldn't handle the situation because that was amazing 1 month here. And
did you manage to go to a lot of games yourself?
Yes. I went to around 15 to 20 games. And, that was incredible because, you could go to 3 games, 4 games in group stage in one day. I don't think it happened again in decades. So that was very a nice experience.
Almost certainly not, because also now the World Cup is becoming 48 teams. So it's expanding, it's going across multiple countries. So I'm pretty sure it'll never be in one city ever again.
Wow, well, yes, exactly. The next World Cup is in 16 cities. So 16, and we had this just in one city. And honestly, the organization was very good. I had some doubt from my side. I didn't think that it could be as good as this, because honestly, in one city, 32 nations and their fans, their teams, their staff, but that was very good. So the good point is we are looking forward to Asian Cup that is happening again in Doha in 7-8 months, in end of 2023, beginning of 2024. So this is a good point that we are waiting right now for that. Obviously, it won't be in the level of World Cup, but anyway, again, it will be a nice experience. So from business perspective, World Cup was very good for us because we started our contract in US market and we worked with some of the broadcasters there and they used our technology during the tournament. And for example, Telemundo, they had the record of their number of audiences during the tournament. So they were so kind to mention that one of the reasons that they had this amount of audiences was using our technology. Obviously, they did a great job, not just because of our technology, they had this record, but at least they were very satisfied from what we delivered to them during the tournament. So, yes, this is the situation right now in Doha, but there are many events here. From padel, from Formula One, different sports. From perspective of a fan of a sport and also from CEO of Sphonix, both of them, it is interesting place to live and be active.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Let me ask that question actually a little bit deeper, because I think this is a key question that I personally have, and I know a lot of maybe listeners might have as well, that we see a lot of money coming in from the Middle East into, let's say, world football, from Qatar, of course, from Saudi Arabia, from Dubai.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, and not just in football, everybody talks about football, but Formula One, for example, just
exactly.
The number of races, I think it's four races now, which happen in the region, Bahrain, Saudi, Abu Dhabi, and Doha as well.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's horse racing. There's so many big, important sports that have a very important spot in the calendar in the Middle East. A question for you as a startup founder, are you primarily looking to be based there to serve the West or maybe even East, India and China or other markets? And do you find enough, let's say, support from the ecosystem, from investors, from accelerators, to be able to do this, to execute?
It's very, very good point. And the point is, right now, our market and our client portfolio that we have, I should say 95%, it is not in the region. So right now, our market is just in Europe and in US, some few clients in Africa and Middle East right now we have. The point is, right now, we are serving all of these clients all around the world from our Doha office, because easily we can serve any client in all around the world, because everything is on the cloud servers and there is no need to be there to serve our clients. But anyway, for the commercial deals and the presence for the business, we are thinking right now to maybe open our branch in Europe soon. But still, we really like to keep our headquarters in Doha. So this is our strategy for now. And also regarding East of Asia, I believe in next 3-4 months, we will have our first big contract in East of Asia with one of the football leagues that hopefully we can announce it in Q2 or Q3 this year.
Amazing. Another check, another tick box to you guys. Amazing work that you're growing globally and growing across regions simultaneously, which is, I know, a difficult task. So to take your point, okay, so you use your region as a base, you have all the technology, you have resources, maybe access to capital. I don't know if that's easy or difficult over there, but yeah.
Yes, as you may know, recently we raised our Series A fundraising. That mm-hmm. was from one of the most famous venture capitals in the sport tech industry, Acer Venture. And mm-hmm. Andre Radrizani, the owner of Leeds United, 11 Sports, and right now he's engaged in DAZN, as 11 Sports and DAZN merged to each other. So from the beginning of Esponix, our target was European investment and also European market and US market and US investors. So exactly because of this point, we raised our Series A from this very famous venture from UK. Still, we are receiving many approaches regarding investing in our startup from region and also from Europe and US especially. But again, our market and our target is not in the region. However, as you mentioned, the potential in the region is huge, especially Saudi Pro League is changing many things right
now.
Yeah,
of course. Now there is a certain famous number 7 who has shown up in the Saudi Pro League.
Yes,
of course.
And you know, right now Saudi Pro League is broadcasting in about 150 countries, and this is exactly where they need virtual advertising, that they need to have a specific customized feed for each broadcaster that they are broadcasting the games. So yes, the potential of the region is huge. Big events happening. Padel is growing very fast right now in the region, in Qatar, in UAE. So also we are preparing ourselves for different events.
Incredible. And as you said, I mean, I remember I was in Dubai, I think last in February of last year, so about a year ago, a little more.
Okay.
And I could see Playtomic was investing a lot in Padel. You could see logos. Playtomic
exactly.
is a Spanish company.
Exactly.
So you could see Padel growing as a sport. I remember I went and played, went to the driving range, played a bit of golf. You could see all sorts of things are happening. And it's not just the big sports of or let's say football,
exactly.
maybe cricket to an extent because of the Asian population. But all right, there's a lot happening in the Middle Eastern region, which is why we wanted to invite somebody like you to come in and educate us about it. Last word on Sponics. Congratulations also for being shortlisted for the Sports Technology Awards. I know you're on the Innovation of the Year shortlist. I also believe that you've been advanced to some entrepreneurship finals for some other competition. Yeah. So tell us about that briefly, quick.
Yes. Thank you so much. So apart from the clients that we signed in the country, in the industry, that is very good point for us. We received top awards and recognitions in the industry as well. So one of the first one was being the Innovation of the Year in the MENA region. That was in beginning of 2020. And also we were selected as the best startup in Asia by Microsoft in 2020. Also, in a Sport Tech Award, we were selected as the Startup of the Year in 2021. And as you mentioned recently, we were selected as the winner of Entrepreneurship World Cup in Qatar. And recently, one of the biggest points that we are proud of this is being shortlisted in a Sport Innovation category in a Sport Tech Award that is happening in New York in 2 months in May. So yes, it seems that experts in the industry also they are recognizing what we are doing and how it can be it can create value for the industry. Especially, you know, what we are doing is totally sustainable and environmentally friendly because, for example, some of our competitors, they need huge electricity and electrical devices in the stadium to be set up, and it is not good for the environment, as you know. And what we are doing is totally green.
Incredible. So first of all, congratulations on all the accolades. If you'd go to New York to collect the award, let me know. I might come back and share some of that champagne to give you a cheers or something. All right, Mohamed. Okay, I mean, it's been great hearing about the journey of Sponics. Last question. Tell us what's next. What is the big focus areas for you guys?
Right now we are receiving many approaches from different markets, different sports, I should say. So our focus is to be ready for this amount of the approach that we are receiving, to be able to deliver all the services that our clients asking right now, and customizing our current solutions for different sports is one of our main targets that we are working right now. So right now we are ready for football, basketball, tennis, paddle, handball, ice hockey, and futsal. But there are some other sports that we know the potential is huge, and we are receiving big approach like cricket. And we know that, for example, cricket market is huge for both technologies. So in next few months, we are trying to customizing our technologies for new sports, apart from the sports that already we have. And also, at the background, we are working on another technology as well, to be the third technology that we will announce maybe end of this year. So
exciting times. New markets, new sports, new technology.
Exactly.
Mohammed is keeping very busy, yeah, on the entire team at Sponix.
Yes, you know, this is not just about me. Obviously, we have an amazing team, because just me, myself, it's not possible to have all of this success and all of this progress. So we have an amazing team that together we are doing something that was not, that is unbelievable from our perspective, at least. So it is going forward good.
All right, Mohammed, thanks for all that information. Okay, so if people want to reach out to you, where should they find your coordinates, on LinkedIn or email? Also, why they can reach out to you? There might be obviously potential clients, leagues, federations, broadcasters, etc. Or maybe you're looking for partners in Europe, or maybe you're looking for a new investor. What are the purposes and how can they reach out?
So, the main point is that we are ready to implement our both technologies for any potential clients in these categories that we discussed. And the main point is we don't want to be a new cost for the clients. The business model that we are proposing is we are creating new revenue streams for our clients, and they will give us some percentage of this new revenue. So anyone that they are engaged in a sport industry and they think we can enhance their fan experience and increase their fan engagement, or we can produce more inventories for their sponsorship package, we are more than happy to discuss with them and propose to them what we can do. Our business team can be in touch with them. Also sometimes sponsors, they approach us and they say, in which competitions you have inventory that we can be in front of the eyes of the audiences that we need exactly in this specific market. So because sometimes we are just tech provider, like what we did for Brazil against Morocco, we just provide the tech and they put the sponsors that they wanted in the South American market. But sometimes the right holder also, they give us some inventories, so we can put our sponsors in some specific markets. So in this case also, marketing agencies and sponsors can be in touch with us. So regarding investment, we haven't any specific plan right now to have another round of investment. But anyway, it will be good to be in touch with potential investors for the next round and these kind of things.
All right. Fantastic. Last question, Mohammed, before I let you go. I always believe, as you said at the start, we are sports fans first. So I want to know what has been your favorite sporting moment, maybe from the last cup, maybe from before, but either as a fan or maybe even if you participated as an athlete. Tell me.
Oh, okay. So, you know, one of the most exciting moment for me in Champions League was the bicycle kick of Cristiano Ronaldo against Juventus. That was unbelievable moment for me, was when I was watching the game from TV. That was unbelievable, memorable goal. But the most exciting moment that I experienced in a sport world, that was the final of World Cup 2022. So, honestly,
I was in the, were you in the
yes,
stadium?
Yes, I was in a stadium.
Oh,
and you know, honestly, for me, that wasn't any difference that France or Argentina be champion. But the game was unbelievable because that was like futsal, not football. You know, every moment. And, you know, in such a level, in the final of World Cup, you are not expecting such excitement.
Open game, yeah.
Wow, that was amazing. Especially, I was behind the goal of Argentina and the miss of France in the 121 minute that they missed a very big chance. Exactly, I was behind the goal. And that was unbelievable moment, you know, and that save from Martinez, the goalkeeper of Argentina, changed the result, the history, yes. And yeah, that was unbelievable final, and I don't think I can experience same experience in the future. But that was brilliant final.
Incredible. Obviously, what the greatest football match? I was at home watching it on TV, but the greatest football match I've ever seen, probably will ever see.
Exactly.
Like Messi to lift the World Cup, yeah, just coming together of so many stories. I'm very jealous of you getting to experience that, but amazing that you did. All right, Mohammed, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on our show. Best of luck with everything related to Sponix, and keep us posted. Maybe we'll have you back once you're growing into this global sports tech powerhouse from the Middle East.
Surely, thank you, Ron, and I'm following you and the Sport Tech Geeks from the beginning of Sponix, and I really like what you are doing. I think it is very beneficial for startups and also for decision makers in different sections in a sport industry, and I really appreciate what you are doing for the ecosystem.
Fantastic. Thanks for the kind words, Mohammed. That is a wrap for another episode. We will continue. This is the first of our series of Sports Tech in the Middle East, so stay tuned for the next episodes in the coming weeks. In the meantime, if you're interested in some of the content that Mohammed was talking about, we actually have options that you can be featured in our content. If you're trying to reach our audience, we have sponsorship packages available and such, so you can reach out to us either via LinkedIn or on hello@sportstechx.com. All right, see you guys next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.